Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Sandy Bob Blog Talk Radio Show. We are live from Wisconsin, and it is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. It is 12 o'clock noon Central Standard Time and 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And it's not too cold in Wisconsin today. It's 18 degrees and it's snowing. We have accumulated about an inch already, so hopefully the sun will come out and it'll all melt. I lived for 17 years in Florida, so I don't think I'll ever get used to this. Today our show is about former ECists tell their story, and we're going to have two guests on the show today. The first one is going to be Mike from Arcadia, California, and then we'll have Dean Val on. After we have our guests on, we have a call-in number for our listening audience. That number is 563-999-3509. Again, that number is 563-999-3509. Well, Mike is from Arcadia, California. And I understand, Mike, that you are a former ECIS with the corporation. And I'm going to ask you how you had come to finding Duane, the great writer, and come upon the song New You, You, You. How long were you in the corporation, Mike?
Well, let's see, from 1972 until about 2015.
Wow, long time.
Yeah, but there was nothing else around there, so, you know, I found that through my dad, actually. He came in under Paul, and so he beat on me for, a couple of years, kept telling me, you got to do this, And, of course, my dad and I, we didn't get along too well, and so I didn't listen to too much he had to say. And but he kept it up, and it became so annoying to me. And finally, I said, all right, look. I said, and by that time, Paul had translated and Darwin had come on. So I said, all right, look, I'll pick a book. I'll read a book. I'll pick it, just show me all your books. So he did. So I read this one particular book that was the In My Soul and Free book. And something inside of me just said, you know what, you got to do something about this. And so I started. And one thing led to another. I met a couple of people who were very heavy into the legal area, and which I knew very little or nothing about at that point in time. I was working at a major corporation other than Eckencar. And so I started getting involved with this gentleman. And one thing led to another. I found myself in the U.S. District Court battling the big boy, the IRS. And before that ever happened, I had already been warned. I spent a lot of time in one particular book of Eck, which Paul wrote. It was in Chariot 2. And I came to some real heavy revelations. I had a lot of dream experiences, and the outer was just continuing to hammer on me, moving in a certain direction. I didn't know why. I didn't know what the consequences or any of that was for, but I just knew I had to go that direction. So I wound up battling the IRS. I had a lot of really good experiences in that, and I hooked up with a couple of ECIS that were also into the law, and I began to learn things that most people don't even conceive of when it comes to our system. But my experiences with ECIS were, I'll just say, profound. I had actual inner discussions during my contemplations with, at the time it was Darwin. And, nothing ever happened that was in a negative from between me and the ECK. And then as time went on, I had some really heavy revelations with Fubi. Fubi Quantz, he's one of the guides. And I discovered during that time my relationship with Eck that he was actually one of the masters dealing with the law. And so I was pretty confident about where I was getting my answers from. So as time went on, I lost my dad. I alluded to him. He translated and went on. And then my wife, she was about not having anything to do with this group. And she was not just adamant. She was like, she didn't want to hear the word. So we spent about 2 years of our married, 46 years of marriage, not even talking. I couldn't even look at her and talk to her. She didn't want to say a word to me. It was that bad. And finally one day, after about 2 years of this stuff, she came to me and she looked at me and she said, "Honey," she says, "I am so sorry." I said, "Why? What happened?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "Something happened to me last night." She says, "I met with this guy, and I think his name is Rabazar. And she said, he, it was so funny because I got a little distraction there. Sorry." She said he came to me and he talked to me and he showed me some things and he was sitting on a nightstand. His head was there, and his head was spinning around in a circle, and he's laughing and carrying on. And she says, "I guess I'm going to have to take a look at what you're doing." So from that point on, she became a member as well. Well, that took me through a lot of different things that a lot of people look at me and say, you're crazy. I don't understand how you did all that. I lost my first house to the IRS. Not because of something that I did, but because of the way the system had evolved. And it had become so corrupt by that point that I don't care how perfect on point with all of the issues and laws you might be, they weren't going to hear it. And they didn't want it shown, which is why it just so happens that we finally reached a point with Bob specifically, who's on another blog, on a Sunday blog, in fact, we'll have one next Sunday, that we're talking about all this stuff now, and we're exposing the truths of what's really going on out there. So anyway, that all come about. I lost my first house to the IRS, and I then went on with my exercise, my teaching, my chanting, all this stuff, and I still had all these revelations. So it was like I was in law school without being in a code law school. And I learned about property titles. I learned about our naturalization system. I learned all these things, and they were all based on our foundation. And finally, we got into our second house, which was actually my wife's father's home. And yes, baby, I got a visitor. So we lived there with him. We took care of her dad because her mom had passed, and we were there with him for, well, I don't know, about 5 years. And finally, he passed, and then we had some issues with the banking system, and I went through a foreclosure, all kinds of stuff there. And then I moved on. I was working for another fellow for a while. And after my wife passed, which was in 13, one day a young lady, she came down to the place I was working, and she was looking for someone to work on her car. But she was having a problem with property next door to her. And she was really adamant about these people. It happened to be some Asians that had bought the property, and they tore down the house that was there, and they were going to do all kinds of crazy stuff to it. And she was just beside herself. They were going to cut all her trees down and do all this stuff. So she said, she was talking to the fellow that I was working with, and he told her, "Well, you need to go talk to Pop." That's Mike. That's me. So that was our relation began right there. Well, it took about 3 months of back and forth, and she got really heavy involved with me and the process on claiming titles to land and stuff. And during that time, she knew I was part of some, we'll say, religious organization, but she didn't press it, and I didn't press it. I just, the books were there on the table, and she'd see them when she'd come over. Well, finally, one day she's looking at the books, and she was a little bit concerned about the direction we were going because she actually works for the government. And I just looked at her and I said, "Let me tell you this. I said, I'll never leave you behind. I won't leave you hanging. I said, anything you need to know, can know it. It will not be a phenomenon. You will lose all your fear of the system and all the garbage that's going on." So all of a sudden she said, "Well, let me know, how do I do this thing?" So I gave her the phone number. She called, got in, got the paperwork, and signed up for EchoCard. And of course, at that time, it was under the head reptilian himself, and Harold Clamp. And so she started immediately doing the discourses and having really phenomenal experiences. She was getting the blue light. The sound current came on. She was doing her little out-of-body stuff, and she rides a train every day, and so she had a good opportunity to do that twice a day. And she was really growing fast, rapidly. And during all of that, one of the events that really turned the tide for our relationship was in the middle of her claim in this piece of property next door. She claimed a lot more than that, actually. But she asked me, she got through all of the paperwork and everything, all the posting and publishing and everything, and she said, "Well, what am I going to do now?" And I said, "Well, you got one last step you got to do." She said, "What's that?" I said, "You got to go over there and put up a sign on it of your claim that you've already mailed, you've already served it on the sheriff and the Superior Court. You've done all the stuff you need to do, but you got to put that sign up and take a picture of it." And she was like, all of a sudden, she went into this, "Oh, no." And, you know, she just looked at me. She said, "You know what? I knew you were going to say that." I said, "Well, okay." I said, "But that's the next step. You asked me. I told you." So the next couple of days, she put her little thing together. And that night she went over and put the sign up. She actually put up a section of fence at the back of the property and put that sign on. And she went back to the house and went to bed. And she laid there for about an hour. And she had a long talk with her gardener, who she's had here for many years. And he kept telling her, says, "Oh, that's not a good idea. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that." You know, so she had this thing in her ear all the time. Well, finally she gets up, she goes over, she takes the sign down. And she brings it home, and she goes and gets in bed. She's laying there in about 20 minutes, and she said, "You know what?" She says, I knew I had to do it." I said, "Yeah, and what did you do?" "I got up and I went, I put that sign back." Well, the next day, when she got up, there were the Arcadia police were here, some high-powered attorney from the lady next door, and they all ganged up on her at the front door. And she just stood there and held her ground and didn't get excited and explained a few simple things to them and let these people make complete idiots out of themselves. But the funniest part about it was this little gal, she's only like, I think, 5'2", and here she is with all these big, high-powered, you know, people around her, looking at her, threatening her, trying to coerce her and all, and she's just like, "To heck with you." And it was like, that was her day of realizing and recognizing that there was something much more powerful going on with her than the average person. So our relationship just grew from there. And one day I was sitting in the kitchen drinking a nice cup of coffee, and for some reason this little voice came on and it said, "You need to go find out what happened to Paul." And I'm thinking, So I went on and I typed in, "What happened to Paul Twitchell?" And the Google does a little search, and I come up with a whole bunch of different websites. And all of a sudden, here's one, and it was from the next guy who was claiming the position that was supposedly, he was an Eckist as well, and had migrated out of the Eckinkar organization because he claimed that Ravizar had moved him to that position of, we'll say, the Mahanta, the living Eck master. But now he's a Mahanta, but he's in charge of Vardenkar. They changed the name. They changed the sound, the word, and all, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And he starts doing discourses. He's just another corporation, just like Eckinkar. And but I knew that Harold was something goofy there. So I, after all that time I'd spent, almost 40 some years in the corporation, I had to make the step. I knew I had to make the step. So I dropped that. I went over and I signed up for Garden Car. And I'm doing the things, and I'm having some personal experiences with Alan and Heather G. And she wanted me to help her with some law stuff, but she didn't want to take some steps. Unlike my little girlfriend, she had there was a fear button there. She couldn't get past it. So it was like I'm going like, there's something not right about all this. And I have not been able to, get the attention of the so-called hierarchy in these different groups, these two different groups, to look at what I was doing and what I was presenting for them. And in effect, it was like, you guys, you're all tied up in the system. You're doing all these things, and then you don't want to learn about it. You don't even want to know why you're where you are, what you're doing, and yet you're claiming your master's and you're doing all this stuff. And I said, you may very well be, but as I've learned already, just because you're claiming you're a master doesn't mean you are one. So I went through almost 2 years of Garden Car, and I'd actually gotten to the point where I'd requested a second through the Garden Car group. And something inside was just, it kept telling me, said, this is not right. You're still not quite doing the right thing. There's some stuff you're missing. These people don't want to help you. And it was a very difficult 2 years with this individual, with Alan. So one day, a little voice comes on again and says, you need to go look up, I'm trying to remember what it was that I'm pretty sure it was Fubi was telling me to look this particular thing up. So anyway, I did. And all of a sudden, Mike, there I see.
Mike, can I interrupt you just for a second? Your background,
sure.
Chickens or animals or whatever it is, are making so much noise, we can't hear you talking.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sitting here in the farthest remote corner of the world. I mean,
it's getting worse and worse.
Move.
So, just to let you know.
Really? I mean, honey? All right, never mind. I'll go to another room. So, I'm on the best mic in the headset, and I'm still getting all that stuff. That's okay. All right, is this better now?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. I got a cat on my shoulder and a bunch of pots and pans in my left ear. So there you go. Anyway, so I went back on my phone, and I'm looking up. Oh, sorry, baby. I'm looking up something dealing with another connection with the teachings from Rabazar, and all of a sudden I see this thing about New You. And I thought, that's interesting. So I opened it up, and Janine and I, we sat there and we looked at this at the web page, and her first comment says, looks like a bunch of kindergarten stuff. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, well, and what's the problem with that? And she was a little bit, because we'd already stepped over into Garden Car. Now we'd spent another 2 years with this guy, and now we're looking at something else. So anyway, one thing led to another. It didn't take me but about a couple of days, and I'm looking at his stuff, and I'm looking at Dwayne, and then all of a sudden I find this phone number, and I call Claudie. She was the person behind the new people who were looking for something. And, Claudia and I hit it off right away. And we talked for an hour. And so she said, okay. She said, I'm gonna be talking to Dwayne here pretty quick, and I'll pass on your stuff. And we said, we'll, get you going. So it took about another day or so, and Dwayne sent me an email. And I called him, and we started talking, and right away, it was like, didn't take hardly 5 minutes. We got off into the law stuff. And, of course, he was in the midst of the new presentation and the project, and right away, we started discussing that, and that's just where it went. It just didn't take any time at all. And then all of the things that I had worked for and learned, and you know, the classes I'd taken on the inner and everything, it all came to bear. It just came full circle. So it's like I knew right then that, yeah, I'd finally at least gotten to a point where I could start exercising all the things that I had learned. Oh, jeez. And and what else? So anyway, here we are, and finally Dwayne told Al to give Mike a call, and let's start doing a blog on. And I said, well, what are we going to do a blog on? And Al says, what you love to do. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And of course, I know full well the boys are there and they're behind us, and you know, they've been dogging me for my whole life practically, and it's finally culminated through, we'll just say, 50 some odd years of very, very diligent continuing to move forward, even though there were some things that just had totally adverse to anybody's common sense about being afraid to take a step. And I know a lot of people on this line probably have had these experiences, but I'll tell you what, you'll never know what's on the other side of it until you take that step. And the ones that are the most fearful, the biggest, the scariest, those are the ones that will get you the most growth the quickest. And I've learned this over not only other lifetimes, but in this one specific, because this is the time. This is the time for all this, and I know it. So whatever else I can give you would be on, I guess, next Sunday's blog with Bob again, and we're going to continue to move into the depths and details of a system that few people really understand. But it's almost like it's the foundation for everything going on out there in the whole universe and all these different planes. And I know it inside, and I know we're going to get it out there. So I'm looking forward to that. So if I've been of assistance and helped anybody out there, I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for Sandy for wanting to do this little interview with me, and we'll be talking again, I'm sure.
Well, Mike, I have a question for you. Since our talk show today is about telling your story, the former exes tell their story, and we're trying to focus on people that may still be in Ekinkar and give them reasons why they need to look in this. And that's a great story you told about how you came to know Dwayne and your experiences. Now, what kind of advice or what were some of the key things that you saw when you were in the corporation? I'll just call it the corporation. When you were still in the corporation, what were the signs, you know, like writing on the wall, and what, if there was there any particular moment in time where, you know, things started popping up that just didn't seem right, or that you paid closer attention to that really stick out that you might want to share with current ECIS that they might want to look at, you know,
Well,
a lot of them, I called an ECIS this morning to see if they would join us, and they said, no, you know, and I said, well, don't you want to defend your position as being an ECIS? And no, I don't want to go there at all, you know. And and this was an HI. Wouldn't even defend Harold. No. Would not even consider even listening, coming on and listening to our talk show. She was just so afraid of it or whatever, you know. But anyway, if there's any key points or things that you want to share with current ECIS that might be a tipping point for them.
Well, I mentioned one thing, you know, you just mentioned it yourself. You said these ECIS are, they're afraid to do something. That fear is what's going to keep them from moving forward. So they put somebody, and I saw this at the Anaheim, the last convention or two was in Anaheim, and I don't remember the particular year. I had several people with me. But we were all sitting in the back watching this. It turned into a dog and pony show is what it did. And we were all looking at it. It's like, what the hell is going on with these people? And I can't give you the specifics about it, but we just knew something wasn't right at that moment. And for the average person who's been in the corporation for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I mean, you know, when you think in your brain that this is the way that you have to go in order to get out of the physical world and get into the higher worlds and become a master, and you think that that's the only process and the only way that you can find it, and you let something like Harold, threaten you or coerce you or make you feel like you're not going to get anywhere if you don't stay with him, you've already missed it. And if you can't go in and ask the boys, if you can't ask for help, if you can't ask for assistance, if you can't do that, then you're never going to find the next step. It's just not going to be there for you. And that's the very thing, is that fear point. And when I finally came to that, and I was looking at this thing about Paul, there was this thing inside of me that was saying, oh, man, you've spent all this time going all this way, getting all of this spiritual knowledge and awareness, and you've reached this level in that King Car, and you're on your way and all. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's saying, yeah, now you're going to give up all that. You're going to quit, and you're going to start all over again? That's what that little piece of you is doing that. It's saying, yeah, you got to start all over. Oh, now you got to do another life or another life. And how many times have you heard those things? You know, well, you can get it in this life or the next. And then, but when it comes to the reality of it, when you're finally looking at the wall and you're saying this life or the next, and I got to do it all again and come back without any awareness or knowledge or spiritual understanding about where I'm at and where I'm going, oh, my God. Well, that just becomes the one thing that's a hook that's going to reach out there and grab you and keep you where you are. And I knew that when it happened. And Janine, she just looked at me. She says, wow, you're making that. You're going to take this step. And I said, darn right I'm going to take it. I'm not going to stay with these people. I already knew. Inside, I was being told I knew. And so I couldn't just stand there. So anybody that's in the organization right now, I don't care how high up the ladder they think they are, they're following a group of people whose only job is to keep them right where they're at. And they're going to be stuck in it if they decide not to take the step. And I went from Eckencar to Vardencar. So I was being given from one to the next and then finally Dwayne. But I knew in all of that that the Eckencar, the Vardencar, because there was little things, little pieces, little things that were being said by certain individuals about what was going on in their group. And when I would ask a question or request information about something, I wouldn't get the answer that I felt I should have got. And it was showing me, you know, you just know when you're talking to somebody that is telling you they know this and know that, and you ask them a question and they give you some backdoor answer to it, or they try and avoid the question, you know, you say, wait a minute. Why wouldn't this person want to give me this information? Why are they suppressing that from me? They should be telling me. They should be eager to give me the answer and to help me to understand what I've asked and to help me further myself in the process that I'm involved with. And that's not what happened in either one of those groups. They put up all of this hype, tried to give everybody all this dog and pony show about, oh, yeah, do this, get the initiations, and move on up the ladder and go to the spiritual planes and all. And I'm not saying the boys aren't involved in all that. I mean, you know, they're going to help anybody get to whatever level they can based on what they are and what they're willing to do. And it's always about what you're willing to do. That's the key. If you're not willing, if somebody asks you to do something and you're not willing, well, you can come back and try it again. So for those heckers that are still stuck in that morass, in that hole, in all of that corporate garbage, and having to, you know, it's about the dues and the membership and the initiations and the, you can do this and you can't do that. And come on, you guys better wake up.
You know, Mike, what am I? His right hand and slapped his right cheek as hard as he could, and then he poured some in his left hand and slapped his left cheek as hard as he could, and then said, wake up, wake up, wake up. Well,
yep.
One of the things that I find just absolutely amazing is all the echoes that are still within the corporation that refuse to go visit Reb Azar Tyres on the inner. They refuse to.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. That's,
you know,
that's
Well, the thing, my point is, Reb Azar is the one that started Eckencar, basically.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Reb Azar, teaching Paul, you know, Eckencar wouldn't have existed. And that's the fundamental to the Eck Corporation. It's fundamental, and they're afraid of him. So what has Eckencar turned into? You know, you have to ask yourself, you know, I mean, it's turned into a worship of the Mahatta. The Mahatta is almost like Jesus. Everybody worships Jesus to be saved, And now in the corporation, people are worshiping the Mahatma, thinking that he's the savior, and they don't have to do anything anymore. It's like a belief
That's
system,
right.
And you know, but they're just really taken down.
And unfortunately,
I know a
for
lot
those.
Of... Pardon, Mike.
I said, unfortunately, if you want to call it that, for those Ekis who can't see the forest for the trees, they're doomed for another round. They just don't know it. And their fear is keeping them from taking that step. It's all about
right,
that
I,
fear.
Right. I have talked to a lot of Ekis, and I think they're just plexed. I'll be well. And the thing of it is, nothing could be further than the truth. First, Darwin stole Paul Twitchell's titles. He really wasn't the living Eckmaster nor the Mahanta. And then Harry Klemp said he stole the titles too. And I think when I had the experience, there was, and I saw her after she passed over, and she didn't know where she was. And reptilians took her away. I know I have had another friend who had quit Ekinkar actually in 1992, and she said she was at a seminar, and Harry was up on stage talking, and she said she saw part of his face sort of peel away and expose a monster underneath. Very
yeah.
Reptilian monster. And she said, I went home and I quit. That was it. And,
see,
that's...
for some of us, it didn't take a kick in the pants. It just took a very subtle nudge from one of the boys, and that's all it took. And for those that are, you know, aren't ready, they're really not. They got to get a kick. And even the ones that get a kick, if they're not ready, they're still not going to take the step. So it's all relative, and each person's going to have to come to their own awareness. There's nothing you can do. For people that aren't willing to move or take the step, they're not willing to
right.
change. And so
yes.
all we can do is be the best example we can be and do what we know we need to do to help wake other people up, but not you can't shove it down their throat. That's the whole key.
Well, right,
so
you have to give
example,
them freedom of choice.
That's
and
right.
And it's their
but
decision.
Your example is the best. Your example is the best of, that you can be.
Correct. Well, that was very good, Mike. Do we have Val on the line?
I'm here. Hello.
Okay, Val. I would like to turn it over to you and ask you how you had come on to finding Duane the Great Writer and come upon the new UUU. And I understand you were in the corporation for quite a few years also.
Yeah, similar to Mike, I was in from the early 70s to 2014, so around 40 years. So I had a good taste of it. And actually, I was not displeased with it at all. I was fine with it. Like Mike said, it was the best thing around at the time because I had looked at Christianity since I was raised Lutheran, and I was looking into Scientology a bit, not long, but a little bit, till I found out what was going on there, and a little bit into SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship with Paramahansa Yogananda. That one was cool, but I kept falling asleep during meditation, so I don't know what I got too much out of that, but it wasn't dynamic enough. It was the old Eastern. He brought it over from the East and trying to merge it with the West, and it was a lot of meditation and a lot of passive sort of practices, and that didn't comply with my nature. So, yeah, I was looking around the East-West bookstore there in Menlo Park, California, and the spiritual section, metaphysical section. And I happened across the book Tiger's Fang by Paul Twitchell. So I opened it up, and it's just something I'd never heard before. Some of the concepts, ideas, experiences. I just leaped through it quickly, but I could tell this was something different. And this is like all through my life, it's these little points of, now I can call it recognition. In the past, I would have said knowingness, but knowingness is like a little bit on the mental side. So recognition is like a upgrade from knowingness in a way. We use that term a lot, recognition. Kind of like an aha moment, but still it's its own unique, just self-evidence of truth for yourself. You know, it's just something that is unexplainable, but you know it's there, and you know you have to follow it. And again, like Mike said,
kind of like a deep awareness is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's something you know something's there. You know you have to follow it, or you know you have to go there. If you don't, you're missing something. So, and like Mike said, you know, you got to take the chance here. There's a fear factor a lot of times within the personal self when you come upon something unexplored or unknown. So that part, you take the choice. But I've always found that taking that risk really works because life will support you. So in this moment, this is rather easy because I was, even from a teenager, I was searching. I was the truth seeker. I wasn't the bratty teenager when I turned 12, 13. I was actually very sad and very unhappy because everything seemed meaningless. I wasn't even on drugs. So anyway, then I did a little searching, like I said, Scientology, SRF, Christianity. And then in my early 20s, I found Eckankar through this book, Tiger's Fang. So there was an X Center in Palo Alto, California. And I go up, it was upstairs in a little rented room. So I go up the stairs and talk to this guy named Bill Burgess, became a friend later on. And basically I just signed up right there without, you know, questioning it, because it just seemed like there was a lot here. I didn't know what it was, but it seemed like a great adventure. So this is, by the way, the area where Harold was living too, this Bay Area. I got to meet him, and he was teaching one of the classes I was in, and I went over to his house, and we did some so-called missionary work. They call it Vahana work. We just go out and poster, put out flyers and things like that, do intro talks. So I got to see Harold and his wife Margie, which Sandy mentioned. And I was in the satsang classes, these classes that you cover the discourses in, you read the discourse for the month, and you discuss it with the other members of this group. So that was all fine. I went to the seminars, which is fun. So it was all good. You know, everything was in its place for me. And this is like for 40 years. So in the meantime, I had some ups and downs in my personal life. I was married 3 times, divorced 3 times. One of the times was I left, actually a short while, left Eckankar because the wife was adamantly opposed to it. So I chose to go with her rather than the Eckankar. And then after a while, that didn't work out with the wife. So I went back to Eckankar, still had my initiations. So I went along. Again, it was okay. You know, it's just because one thing about Eckankar, I wasn't into as much the teachings as I was they call Vahana work or missionary work. I was more interested in sharing with others because that seemed where it was at for me. Because I can kind of sense that that's the growth
would
happen.
Great, Mike. I mean, Mike, Val, I'm sorry. Brain fog here, I guess. When did you find Dwayne the Great Writer and the new you?
A friend of mine who was in Ekankar, he called me up and said, invited me to one of the Skype meetings that Dwayne had. So I did attend the first meeting, and the first impression I got was, oh, another mini master. And then the second meeting, I had this recognition I'm talking about. I said, oh, this guy makes sense. He's real. This works for me. I mean, just very, very real sense of this is it. And then a few days later, I asked Paul on the real side, I said, what do you think of this guy?
Paul
just made a funny...
For some reason, it bleeped out or something. I'm not too sure what happened.
Yeah, am I going in and out, or am I okay?
Yeah, you are now. You're fine now. It was
okay.
It went out there for a little bit.
So I asked Paul, what do you think of Dwayne? And he made a funny face. A lot of times the real guides they won't answer you directly. They'll do something, demonstrate something, or do something you kind of have to figure out. So anyway, the face kind of gave it away that, you know, this is the way to go. So I had my confirmation, and then ever since then I've been taking risks, I guess you could say, and that's kind of the procedure. You just keep going into this unknown isness, and that's where the adventure lies, and that's kind of why I like this reality, because it's always new now, and it's quite an adventure, really. And then I get to do the sharing too, just like I did in Ekankar, which is a lot happens from the sharing. You get to be more aware. You get to see other people's viewpoints, and your awareness just goes explodes into more and more of this isness.
Yes, it is quite an adventure. Would you just as a synopsis? Oh, Bob has something. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Hey, Val. Bob here. I was wondering if you might be able to explain. You know when you're in a. Sometimes you're in a corporation. You know, like Ekankar, and all of a sudden one day, you kind of realize it's dead. You know, there's no life to it. And then, you know, you said that, you know, being with Dwayne the Great Writer and the new presentation, it seems like it's really exciting and there's a lot of life in it. Could you go into that a little bit?
Well, you have the comparison. That's what you have here. It's just like now I keep looking back, and the Ekis, the people that are in Ekankar, they're just like standing still almost. And as life goes on and we're connected with life through the new you, we're so-called moving. I'm just using that term. It's not really moving, but we're becoming more aware, whereas the Ekis are basically stuck in their self-convinced attitudes about the Mahanta, basically the Mahanta, and what their position is. So the comparison is very important. You kind of weigh things, or you just kind of look at things, this, that, what makes sense, and you go with what makes sense if you choose. So that's one of the things that I find very important, the comparisons you make, and that's what you get through all the experiences that we get in the worlds of creation here.
Well, you know, for me, you know, in the last couple seminars that we went to and listened to at the Worldwide Seminar listening to the main speakers, it got to be like meaningless fairy tales. I mean, like a truck driver drove up a hill with a dump truck, and there was somebody watching him, and he was had his fingers crossed whether or not the guy was going to tip over backwards or not, and he was debating whether or not he should go tell the truck driver whether or not he should say, be careful. I mean, where's the spirituality? I mean, you know, I can, you know, a lot of times parables used to be written because they would have deeper meanings. But in Ekinkar, what started out to be parables became, and I would just outright say it, they're just stupid. There is just nothing behind. There is no meaning, no symbolism, nothing. There's nothing to compare with what is being told by these stories that have any meaning anymore. Whereas with Dwayne the Great Writer, it's exciting. It's like you're traveling to new worlds. You're seeing new vistas. New doors are being opened, and it's so exciting. It's like you've started a whole new life all over again. You almost feel like a young kid, and you can't wait to see what happens, you know, the next moment or the next day. It's so exciting by comparison.
Yeah, you know, Bob, you know what's happening with that I see, that I was doing myself when I was in Ekinkar, I was rationalizing, you know, well, maybe the story doesn't make sense, or, you know, you go home from one of Harold's talks and you're trying to scratch your head and say, well, what was that? You know, you try to dig and find something, like, meaningful from his talks, and you just couldn't do it, so you go to a thing they have after the seminar, like a get-together, and they talk about it, and still, like, nobody's really saying anything, you know? So you kind of scratch your head, well, it must be me, you know, I was rationalizing, it just must be me, I just can't figure it out, he's so spiritual, or he's the master. And I think a lot of people do that, even when they see things funny going on in the organization, because they say, well, it's just the human element, but if we go with the Mahanta, which I think a lot of Ekas now are doing, it's like they see the outer organization, the master has flaws, et cetera, but the Mahanta, well, that's the inner master, well, he's the main thing, you know, but even we're seeing even that is just like you said, Jesus, it's like a worship of an idea that is, you know, maybe once had something to it, but is now very outdated. And that's where we are with that. I mean, you just you have to keep moving on. You almost have to keep up with life, or else it's just what it is, and you have to keep up with that isness. Otherwise, you get left behind with your own attitudes.
Well, you know, I'm the same way. When I was listening to those parables, and Sandy and I would discuss these talks that he put on, and we're looking at each other, you know, well, what did you get out of that? I didn't get anything. Did you get anything out of that? But you know, if you're under the belief that the Mahanta is it, I mean, if he is the ultimate source of spirituality and you don't get it, it creates a tremendous amount of self-doubt in yourself. You wonder, well, gee, where did I go wrong? Why am I not spiritual? Why am I not getting this? And I'm sure that the Ekas in the corporation today are going through that. You know, they know the Mahanta is it. They know Sri Harold is the best on the planet, and they know that in their heart, but they don't stop to think that maybe there's something wrong here. Maybe I'm not as spiritually downhill as I think I am. Maybe I better start looking into this, and you know maybe I better double check my belief system, and maybe call on Rebazar or one of the other Ekmasters, as they call them, and get some more insight. You know what I mean? So, you know, because like Rebazar, theoretically Rebazar is the one that gave the Mahanta the Rod of Power. So you would think that Rebazar would be a very good source to go to find the answers of, well, why am I not connecting spiritually with the Mahanta. You know, why am I not getting the answers to all his stories? You know, so that's what I would recommend for Ekkas to do is, you know, make sure that you connect with one of the Ek Masters, especially Rebazar, and say, what am I missing here? So, yeah, that was an excellent point, Val. Very, very good point.
Yeah, and that brings in, again, the comparison idea. So here with the new presentation, Dwayne, you may not understand things, but you have the support of life. If you're sincere and you keep at it, you have the support. And sometimes you don't even need to understand it. You just keep going with it, and you become more aware, because awareness supersedes everything. We hear that all the time. Awareness supersedes everything beyond even understanding, knowledge, love, just all the things you can think of. So we have the support. Again, in Ekkankar, you may not understand something, but you just didn't have that backup, because, like you say, you go to these satsangs and you discuss with others, and they don't know what the hell is going on here. They just everybody's kind of clueless, and they pretend that they're in a spiritual group, and they have all the answers and stuff. But you know, if you talk to them personally, you know, then you can see they have a little doubt. They have a little questions and doubts too. If you really honestly talk to some of these Ekkas personally, because in a group they all get together and it's all rah rah hugs and love and all that. But down deep, a lot of them are they have questions. You know, they have concerns about what's going on here.
Well, then the other thing that, you know, the Ekkas, one of the reasons why they're afraid of Dwayne the Great Writer is because they think he's off on his own. They don't understand that Dwayne has 100% support from all those Ek Masters. They're no longer supporting the Mahanta. They're supporting Dwayne instead. So you would think that, you know, maybe they better check with the Ek Masters and see why, you know, I mean, like, we have all the Ek Masters working with us along with Dwayne the Great Writer. They all, we're working hand in hand. And in Ekkankar, that doesn't happen anymore. The Ekkas need to realize that the Ek Masters no longer exist and they no longer support Ekkankar. And that's been going on for how many years now, Val?
Which? The new presentation?
No. When did the corporate, as far as the corporation knows, they call them Ek Masters, like Rebazar and Flubiquants and Yabo Sakabi and all them. They completely stopped supporting the Ekkankar Corporation, the Mahanta, and the living Ek Master. They don't even do anything with them anymore. And that was
somewhere along the line they left him. Yeah, they gave him a chance early on, but then they could see he was going nowhere, so they just took off.
No.
And they still work with Ekkas, but for Harold, no, they're not with him at all. People don't get it.
Right.
It's a new era. I mean, spiritual masters, gurus, spiritual paths. It was good for its time, but this is a big step for, like you can say, mankind. You know, the evolution of consciousness and just the way things are going. It's a big, big step. That's why people are still comfortable with old ideas. That's why it takes a risk taker here to step into something unknown and take a chance. But if you do, life will support you. Life will support you.
I had one little... No, Sandy?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I had one little comment to make, and this takes back to the day with the first seminar at the brand new Ek building that they built in Chanhassen. And when I first went into the building, found a seat, and I was sitting there, and I'm looking all around at this thing, And of course, I've never been into the church thing. And so that was another little piece of that whole deal. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking up and looking up at the star in the middle and all this. And I asked the question, I said, what in the heck is all this about? And a little voice came on and it said, this is just a bridge. And so in that moment, I realized, yeah, it is just a bridge. A lot of people are going to be coming through here, through, not in. And that's all this is. It's just a bridge.
Yes. When I was in the corporation, I was fortunate to have most of my experiences was with Paul Twitchell and Ray Bazar. And so in essence, when I had my thing when I started with Duane the Great Writer, it was easy for me because it was a continuation of what I had experienced. And these Ek Masters, we now call them the real guides. Bob and I went to the worldwide seminar this year kind of to see what was going on there. We passed out a few things, and one of them was a picture of Reb Azar, and it had an invitation from Reb Azar, and it said, take the risk to see more. Sing new you, and I will show you what is real now. We sing new you, and it's new you. Or you can sing it in another tone or whatever feels comfortable to you. We sing it 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night. And you can ask Reb Azar to show you what is real, what is truth. And you'll find your life changing. I certainly did. Bob?
Eva's on now.
Eva, are you on?
Yes, I'm
on
you.
I'm on here too. Yes?
Yes. Would you like to tell us how you came upon the Duane the Great Writer and knew you?
And the background.
And your background in, I believe you were in Ekinkar also, correct?
Yes, I was 32 years in Ekankar, and I had in before I met Duane, there was so something going on. In the first 1 year, I get a call from the office in Ekankar that I have not more contact with the Iranian. And I had a very good connection to Iranian, and I was also visited many in Iran, and she forbid me all this. This was the first step. And then after a while, she called me again. Eva, you make there so much pictures on Facebook. They are very wonderful, but we want not that you make this. And I was making Ek Masters, yes. I was making so in but I saw so in different position or with some people together or auch other and when they had a dream, I make the dream in the picture for them, and many from the Kist was likes this very much and found wonderful. But no, Eva, don't do this more, ne? And I was really upset, but now here I cannot do what I want. I'm not free. What is this here? Naja, and then 2 months later, a friend, an ex-friend from me, he say, Eva, I cannot more sing the H-U. I get a new word, and this is N-U. N-U. Naja, also he was singing N-U, and I was thinking, what a pity. Before we was always singing here online on the computer, age you together. No, I think now I cannot not sing with you. What a pity. And then after so 3 months he was singing this and you, I was thinking, okay, I decide to. What the matter? I will sing with you the NU too, then we can sing some together. Okay, I was singing then with him the NU. Oh, and I feel good. And then I was thinking, I was looking in Google, maybe there is something more about the NU to find, no? And I was surprised. Was NU? And there's somebody writing NU on Srivatsa Chart and Paul Twitcher. Oh, what is this? That's, cool, no? And then I found in PDF books from Dwayne the Great Writer and auch his email address, and, but my English was not so super, and so I was saying to my internet friend, look, you have to contact them here. Yeah, maybe he can, you can get some books from him or that we know a bit about this more, no? And then it was going all so fast. Ne? Then I get the contact with Dwayne, and oh, and I was so exciting. Then after a while later, then I was, I had an aeroplane booked to Canada to visit my friend. And before, I was thinking, oh man, this new use is really, I like it very much. And then I was thinking, oh, maybe I will not be in a kiss when I come back. Or I will not very fast pay my membership for Akanka. I was paying my membership before I was flying to Canada. And then when I was in Canada with a friend, and then I saw, oh, my friend had no more people who was liking the new you and reading them the books from Dwayne, and I was so surprised. It was all so exciting for this, and it was so wonderful. I was not right now reading the books. I was only hearing from these people, but I felt in my inner, oh, this is it. And then we had a phone call from Canada to California with Dwayne, and in the first time when I was talking with him, oh, I was thinking, oh, this, I remember, I had the feeling, this is it, yes. And I was right away asking Dwayne, oh, can I help you? I make so much pictures and I like to help you maybe on your book covers to make pictures, or how do you like it? And at first Dwayne was thinking, oh, really, I make this for myself, I don't need it. I was thinking, yeah, maybe he will see what I do, maybe later he will like it. And then I was 5 weeks in Canada, and we had always something of phones with Dwayne, and when I was then at home, then he was taking emails, and then I was telling him, come to Facebook, and Facebook is a good road place to share all what you are doing, ne? And I will help you how to do this. And this was the first start, and then I think so 1 or 2 months later, I tell you, oh, I have so many contacts to Skype. It will be all good when you make Skype groups that we can talk with the world and with all the people we want to know more about you. And then I think so, yeah, 1-2 months later, we starting with the egg groups. This is a new Skype groups. Yes. And 1 week later, I was writing in Facebook a letter that I not more be interesting on Akanka. I'm not now with Dwayne and the new. And this was very fast. I was nothing say here to the office, but 3 weeks later, the office write me the letter, bye-bye, Eva. Yeah. Now, and now this is from, now I'm soon 6 years with Dwayne, and in this time, we had many Skypes and new groups and new friends was with us, and some was longer with us, some don't understand, some understand, and it's very interesting. We have so many all over the world now get to that But now Sandy makes a Blog Talk Radio show here right now too, and this is very cool that many more doing something, and I'm very happy that I'm not all of us here with Dwayne every day, many, many hours, and this is really make us so connected to the real guides and to see much more what is here going on the world. So I think this is really, really right now enough what I was getting.
Oh, that is wonderful. Ava is from Germany, and she and Dwayne are the ones who do all those absolutely wonderful pictures. There's thousands and thousands of images that she and Dwayne have done, and it's, you know, at the Eck Corporation, they also had pictures of, they call them Eck Masters, but they're really the real guides. There's no such thing as the title Eck Masters anymore. But I noticed that Dwayne's and Ava's pictures really look like the real guides, whereas the pictures in the corporation, not so much. And so if you want to find out what these real guides look like, just get on Skype or the Internet and wonderful worldwide educators. And if you look up Kelsey Lynn Brown, she has thousands of images. They're just stunning. And I want to thank everybody today for telling their story about when they were in the corporation and when they found the new UUU. And if we have anybody that's listening that wants to call in, we can take calls now. The number is 563-999-3509. Again, that number is 563-999-3509. Do we have anybody out there who wants to say anything? Anyone else? Anyone?
Well, I have a, I would like to make a comment, and for people still in the corporation, people thinking about leaving the corporation, the one of the, probably one of the most misunderstood things that Dwayne the Great Writer is working with is that life has nothing to do with worship of personality. It's not joining in an organization. It's not believing in a savior. It's all about awareness and recognition of what's real. And reason why the real guides are here is because they will show you in your dream state, they will show you the real side. And as you become more and more aware of your dreams, you become more and more aware of what's real. And eventually your awareness of what's real and the all is will become such that you will be able to step out of cause and effect creation and be with the real guides, or basically you'll have total freedom wherever you want to go. There's no restrictions. And we are so brainwashed by the religious systems of today, and unfortunately the corporation has become the same way, that we believe that we've come to a point where if we believe in something, that's the answer. Belief is not the answer. You can believe and all this stuff, and it's going to get you nothing but more and more cycles of reincarnation. It's awareness, your personal awareness, and only you as an individual can become more aware. And it's up to you to become aware. Dwayne the Great Writer and the real guides are showing you how to become more aware. They're not telling you how to do it. They're just giving you hints on how you can do it for yourself, because you must do it for yourself. Is there anybody else have any more comments?
Yes.
Yeah,
this is Claudie.
Go ahead.
Claudie, go ahead.
Yes. My comment is, when I was in Ekankar, I found over many years that I gave permission for Ekankar to say things that I normally wouldn't go with. Sometimes when we find something delightful in our lives or we come across it and we think it's the most wonderful thing in the world, we give allowances. Oh, yes, they may do this, but this is the best. This is all there is. And we convince ourselves that that is so. So sometimes when we are so enamored of a protocol, let's say that, a protocol, a procedure, we give allowances. We can say, oh, you can get away with this and you can get away with that, but that really isn't going to persuade me. Until we come to the moment when we look at things realistically, or in the old saying, the cold light of day, when you look at things and say, all right, these are the parameters I go by, but it doesn't quite follow those parameters. So sometimes people in Ekankar, and I was one of them, gave allowances to what was being presented. And I found after a while that I couldn't understand, like what you, Bob, had said before, what was going on, and it must be me. No, that's not correct. It's not you. It's what's being presented. And if you look at it realistically and in a quiet moment, and you ask with pure sincerity in your heart for the truth, it will be presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudie.
Mike, you're going to have to mute. I think we heard a bunch of your chickens doing the new you in the background. Well, everybody, I think we've come to the conclusion of this talk, and we want to thank everybody for sharing their background and how they've come to the new presentation, their experiences with Ekankar, and how they were brave enough to step out of that system and step out of their fears and move on with life and share with what they've done. And we thank you very much for that. Sandy, you want any parting comments?
Just want to thank our guests for today. There was Dean Val from Huntington Beach, California, and Mike from Arcadia, California. Claudia is from Corpus Christi, Texas. And we just want to thank you so much for all your, and Ava from Germany. We want to thank you so much for all your stories today. And we will be on the radio next week at 12 noon. So tune in then. It is going to be a different topic, probably about horses next week. I came across a woman who does therapy with horses in Wausau, so that should be an interesting program. So we will talk to you then. Okay. Thank you.